Well, saints, I want to share a revelation with you about being hidden in Christ in the days ahead. And it's pretty encouraging. Well, not that the church isn't going to have to go underground, but that's going to happen too. Glory be to God. It's all part of His plan to awaken a lot of people. Praise God. This revelation was given to Sandy Shaw and on the 20th of this month. She said, I found myself inside what looked to be an old apartment building. And my thought is that the elderly church in many houses built together into a temple for the Lord is what is being spoken of here. She said, I remember in the dream of being very tired, kind of like the building in the old order church, tired. Because we are coming into a new order, a new anointing, a new blessing. As I looked out in front of me, I saw five steps. Steps of faith to grace, I would say, because number five represents grace, right? And just as I began to step down onto the first step, I said, okay, Lord, the second part. And when I did step down onto the first step, I no longer felt tired. And I would say that that's partial grace received to run the race. She said, I proceeded up the remainder of the steps. And the first door I needed to take was on the right. Well, steps of faith bring us to a higher place in God and fullness of grace to go through the door, who is Christ. You know, we know that we've received this from the foundation of the world, but manifesting is another thing, and that's what the Lord is doing for His bride right now. You know, they left the sheepfold in John chapter 10 following Christ. And the bride comes out of the mother church, too. And John, seeing the disciples following Jesus, said, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Amen. The door, Sandy said, the door was old. And there was evidence of a sign on the door, but the sign was no longer there. Just a shadow of where the sign had been. You know, Jesus gave the sign that He was and is the door, but He no longer is here in person. But His Spirit and Word is manifested in those who go through the door, right? She said, I opened the door and the room was very dark. And this is because this place in God for the bride has not been in manifestation for many years. People are returning to Zion now. But it's an old place. It's a place that's been deserted for many years, according to the scriptures. But God said He was going to bring His people back to His promised land. That, of course, is in the spirit, not in the letter, because all the promises that we've received and seen and received in the Word were future. And so it is happening. God is bringing His people back. His first fruits have come back to the land. But there's a multitude of other people coming back to the land. They'll renew the old places. She said, I turned on the light, and the light itself reminded me of one of the old-fashioned type light fixtures that they would have had years ago. And you had to turn it on by hand. Well, we turn on the power and the light by faith, don't we? We're told in Romans 8, if ye by the Spirit We do it, but it's by the Spirit. We walk by faith, and the Lord gives grace. And also, the old-fashioned light is the original light of those who abide in Christ. In 1 John 2 and 4, we're told, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word," which is what? The light, right? "In him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk as he walked," even as he walked. Well, he that loves his brother turns on the light, don't they? Because verse 10 of this chapter says, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's no occasion of stumbling in him." And that, of course, is the old-fashioned light that was given in the beginning, as verse 24 says, "As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning." That's the old light, not some new-fashioned light of our day or some modern religion of our day or whatever. "If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father," which is what? Abiding in the light, right? It's necessary that we go back, because many people have come to the Lord and they've heard a lot of things in their trek through Babylonish Christianity, but they have to go back to find out what it is that they were lied to about. And we need to renew our minds with the real Word of God. It's not enough to go and listen to other people. We need to seek a fellowship with God through the Word. And Sandy said, "When I turned it on, I noticed that the walls were painted navy blue. And I didn't see any windows." Well, I believe that this is a time when the bride is separated or walled from the world by their faith. And navy blue is heavenly, but it is in a time of darkness that it's heavenly, right? And she went on to say, "On the right side of the room was a door. And I went up to the door and opened it and discovered it was a closet with three babies inside. And these babies looked to be 4 or 5 months old." So many innocent spiritual babies will be entrusted to the bride, such as it was with Esther and the people of God. She said the babies were dressed in heavy snowsuit suit of grayish color. And these babies are coming in out of the cold of persecution and tribulation to be sheltered by the bride for instruction and to be delivered of their beastly or grayish works, right? Gray, we've had many dreams about the color gray, and it represents the beast or death. And of course, even though there are tiny babies, they're small, they're young in the ways of the Lord, they're also innocent. "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." God is about to give great knowledge to his people in the wilderness, just like it was when Jesus came. And then they will be responsible, but until then they're innocent. She said, "I took the babies out of the closet, and there was a braided rug of variegated brown colors in the middle of the floor. So I laid the babies down on this rug." Well, I know a little bit about the rest of this revelation. These babies will be resting in a time of brown shirt Nazism. Those traitors who turn on their own people to deliver them to the beast. Sandy said, "I noticed that there were boxes all over the place. It looked like someone was moving in or moving out." Well, many have rejected this place in the Lord, considering it unreasonable or impossible to reach because of false doctrines of their preachers and things. And this is all because of their sins. And and many have come to take this place. So she's probably right about moving in and moving out. She said, I thought this dream that it was summertime because I was dressed in a sundress. Well, that's pretty symbolical, I would say, dressed up with the sun, a time of life and blessing to the bride. And I do believe that that's what we're coming to, even though the church as a whole is coming into trouble and tribulation. The bride is coming into a place of freedom and anointing because she's already been through trouble and tribulation. She said, I thought to myself, why are these babies dressed in snowsuits when I'm dressed in a sundress? Well, a thought came to me that they are dressed for the cold, prepared for survival and persecution that they see on the horizon, right? But it's really warm in this place where the bride is. They haven't realized it's spring, and when the woman goes into the wilderness, tribulation, following the man-child, it's spring, according to revelations that we've received, whether that's natural spring or spiritual spring. It's new life, right? It's a time of new life. And the first 3.5 years of the tribulation are relatively protected. They will be relatively protected while in training, as it was under Jesus' ministry. Just as Jesus first raised up the bride and sent them into the harvest, so will it be with the man-child and the bride in our day. Revelation 12 and 6 says, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. Well, now when Jesus came on the scene for that first 3.5 years there, he was ministering to the bride. He raised up the bride, and he sent the bride forth into the harvest to raise up the rest of the woman. The woman meaning the whole church, right? And in verse 14 it says, and there was given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. So there you have that relative protection from the serpent or the dragon, the beast of the first 3.5 years, right? Awesome. On the kitchen table was a shiny silver box with a white cotton bow. And, of course, this looks like a gift, a free gift. I untied the bow and opened the box. Upon opening the box, I discovered 3 white baby T-shirts and 3 pairs of white shorts. I took these clothes and put them on the babies. It's a free gift. It's by grace that this whiteness that the Lord gives unto us, the immature will be clothed in the pure works for the season, which is spring, right? You know, for every season, there is a place in the Lord, you know, and the babies are accepted by grace before the Father, just as our own babies are, right? They are accepted by grace. We don't consider their foolishness or attribute it to them, because that's just what you, when you have a lot of ignorance, you also, as I said, have a lot of innocence, because things are not accounted against them, right? And the Lord is that way with a lot of people. They're headed towards tribulation. Many of them are dressed up for the winter. They think they're preparing for the things that they're going into. Or they're not, because of their preachers lying to them about all flyaway raptures and things. But in the natural, this could begin in the spring when they are coming out of winter. Okay? So this could be a timing. We'll have to see. And Sandy said, after dressing the babies, I began feeling the walls because I felt something wasn't right about this room. And that's when I discovered a window that had been boarded up. Yeah, from non-use, I would say. You know, the bride will be given spiritual discernment, which is what your eyes represent. You see what's outside the body, right? And in this discernment is going to be for the job of taking care of the babies, as it was in Jesus' time. Remember the disciples that first walked with Jesus when John said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom"? They were given the same kind of discernment that Jesus had, the discernment gifts, so that they could take care of the babies. And, you know, babies don't always tell you everything. You just got to read by the signs, right? What's wrong with them sometimes? Sandy said, "I took out the screws that were on the left side of the boards that were covering up the window. You could not see out of this window very well, as it had lattice blocking the view from the other side." Lattice on the other side of the window, blocking the view from the outside, right? Lattice is easier to see out of because you're closer to the holes in the lattice. You can see out pretty good compared to what other people can do when they're looking in from a distance, right? They don't see very much. From the outside, it's hard to see in. And this is, of course, to hide the bride and the babies. However, as I was looking through the lattice, I could see falling ash. This falling ash keeps showing up in our dreams, and I believe it's a timing. You know, you can't have large earthquakes going across the country without volcanoes popping off too. And I believe we're in a record time right now of volcanoes. Indonesia just popped off 4 at one time, and if I remember correctly. And that was just a day or two ago. And there are many volcanoes out there spewing ash into the atmosphere. And so I believe that this volcanic ash comes after the time of the earthquakes. Because earthquakes generally do cause some volcanic action. As I was looking at the ash, I heard a conversation going on in the hallway outside the room. And this is what I heard. "Man, you see that snow? It's really snowing hard. It's really coming down." Sandy said, "I closed the window back up and screwed the boards back into place." She already knew what was going on out there, right? And it wasn't snow, was it? Well, many are still in a state of denial, not seeing the evil time for what it is. And, of course, the government line is being fed to people, and the liberal media line is being fed to people to put them to sleep. But it's an evil time. There's judgments on the horizon. She said, "I could still hear voices and what sounded like a commotion out in the hall. I looked over to the right side of the room, and there was a blanket lying on the floor. And I reached down and picked up the blanket, and I covered the babies who were lying on the rug." Well, the bride will have that authority to cover those on the right, like this was, the sheep, when the right wing and Christianity is being persecuted, having lost all rights under dictatorship and martial law, the bride is going to have the authority and the ability to cover the babies. We've had dreams about that before. You know, there is a gift of invisibility that the Lord has given to His people whenever it was needed and necessary. And I see the bride as being able to give that gift because of the maturity and wisdom and anointing that the bride is going to have to others. To others who are coming along who may not have the faith or the knowledge to do this. But it's coming. People are going to have to be able to claim their invisibility. Ask the Lord for it and receive it. And, of course, you can ask the Lord for your invisibility from the government now. They have all kinds of ways to spy on everybody. Yeah. But you can ask for that. I then began walking towards the door, and as I was walking towards the door, I began to pray. And I asked the Lord for His protection and to please make it so. And especially so that I didn't have to lie, she said. The room changed from a dark navy blue color to a light, bright blue color. And the door opened before I could get there. So those who are in, who in darkness have turned to the light will be under the protection of the Lord, right? And just then a Chinese man walked in the room wearing a heavy black coat. So I believe that this is representing people coming to enforce martial law. I believe they've already practiced in this country to do that. And these martial law people are in the winter of tribulation, and they know it. He had a very heavy accent, and his English was very broken. He said to me, "What you do? What you do?" And I said to him, "I have done nothing." And truly the bride has done nothing wrong except in the eyes of the government who is trying to overthrow Christianity. Then he said back to me, "We know you don't." And just then a Chinese soldier walked into the room and these two Chinese men began talking to each other. Then the first man turned around and he said, "How many children did you have?" I said, "I have only one son, and he's grown with a family of his own and does not live with me." Reckon that was a statement of the bride right there. Could be Sandy's representing the bride, huh? One son, the firstborn. And in a time of martial law, when Christians are not in favor with the beast, but those who are holy have favor with their Father who rules over the beast, don't you know? Now, that's important that you know that. It's important that you have the grace and the peace that comes with understanding the sovereignty of God. This whole trial that goes on down here is for our benefit. And the Lord is in complete control over it. This is His garden. He controls the sun, He controls the dirt, He controls the moisture of the latter rain, He controls everything. And you don't have to fear man. He said, "Don't fear man who's able to kill the body, but fear God who's able to kill both body and soul in hell." Fear God. Fear God. And believe in God in these situations. He can take thoughts right out of people's minds. He can put them right into people's minds. He can give you favor with the beast, or He can take it away for those who don't deserve it. Right? The soldier then turned towards the hallway, and he spoke to someone outside of the room that I could not see. And he said to the man in the hallway, "Who gave you this information?" In other words, about her having these babies, right? The man in the hallway that I could not see said, "Sam and Joe." Then the soldier said, "Bring them to me," meaning Sam and Joe. They all left at this time and slammed the door as they left, obviously in anger that they hadn't been given right information. They never at any time saw the babies. Praise the Lord. Sam and Joe, I believe God is using here as a type of factious traitors against the Christ in us, represented by the bride and the babies. Judas led the beast to Jesus, but then he died by his own hands. The factious who have not repented will go into captivity. They are out of favor with the Father who rules the beast. And as we've seen many, many times, the faction goes into captivity, just like Israel, who was factioned away from Judah, and the temple at Jerusalem was taken into captivity for their rebellion and for their false Jesus, their golden calf, and for their priests who were not priests and not preachers, not ordained to God, so to speak. And, of course, anyone found lying to the martial law authorities can be killed. The people on the scene in martial law, they have complete authority to do these things. You really are under a dictatorship when you go under martial law, saints. Just remember that. They won't put up with any rebellion whatsoever. Sandy said, I sat down in an Indian-type position on the floor with the babies, and I help them hold their bottles filled with clear water. And I think this represents the milk of the water of the Word, right? Praise God. And I said to myself in this dream, I need to ask Merlene how to feed multiple babies. And I took one of the babies in my arms and I said, you don't have to worry. The Lord is our refuge. And He will provide for us. He is our deliverer. Oh, praise be to God. This is so right. You don't have to worry. If you do worry, it's a good sign that you are not right with God. You don't have faith in Him. You don't trust in Him. Maybe your heart condemns you. You know, anything that your heart condemns you about, please walk in faith and walk away from whatever it is. Because you're going to need your confidence and your faith that the Lord is with you in this trial that's coming. And that was the end of that dream. But then she had another one that was connected to this dream. I think it runs parallel with this dream. She said, I dreamed I was on a road that looked like a four-lane highway close to me in real life. The outside lanes were filled with people walking, running, and riding bikes. Well, that's kind of unusual. What happened that people would be using the outside lane for that? Could it be a loss of electricity or power or gasoline? Which, by the way, could happen at the same time. You know, losing the gasoline we found on the Gulf Coast is not that hard to do. A hurricane can come in there and shut those refineries down, and basically you're out. What comes is going to come in a ship, and they have to unload it. And we saw this happen, and they're all the way up. The pipeline that went up the East Coast went down for a while, and cars were running out of gas. So I don't know, but I do know when these earthquakes come that those pipelines that do run up to the north where most of the refining capacity in the United States, almost all of it's down on the Gulf. And so, you see, it could be shut down pretty easily. That's in the natural speaking, right? And I was in my wheelchair going with them. That is, on an outside lane, going wherever they were going. But we know that the bride will not go into captivity on the broad road with everyone else, right? So her next statement was, I went off the road through some trees and discovered a brook-type body of water. I wanted to put my foot down into this water. I was excited and I thought the water was going to be cold, but it wasn't. It was just refreshing. And I do believe that this represents the living waters of the Word from the throne of God through Jesus in the man-child ministry. And you know Jesus himself offered to pass this river of living water on to any disciples, right? He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. So all we have to do is believe on Jesus, and he is that living water. That word comes to life when we believe in Jesus, right? Especially when it's spoken through the man-child, the way it was spoken through Jesus 2,000 years ago, and that's exactly what's going to happen. And it will be a time when the speaking of life will be commonplace for the man-child ministry and bringing, limbs back, you know, and a miracle of this stepping out of a wheelchair. She said, I stood up out of my chair, and when I did, I had both of my feet. Well, that sounds like a miraculous time, right? And, of course, a healing awaits for many people through the living waters. And many people will receive their miracles that they've been believing God for. In fact, many are questioning why the Lord would delay some miracles at this time. And I think it's so that he can have a wondrous entrance, you know, into the world by this working of mighty signs and wonders and miracles. I think that is what the Lord is doing. In fact, I think the Lord showed me that. It's not that we're not to be believed for our miracles now. We should be believing all along so that when the time comes, we can receive, right? I started walking in this water. And when I got to where the water was chest high, I stopped. I stopped because I thought I was going to swim in this water, but I needed to submerge myself and swim over to the other side. Well, I believe this is also represented by the deep waters of the Word to swim in, as in the Ezekiel 47 revelation, where the living waters flowed from the house of God and brought healing wherever it went. And we know we've recently had a revelation of these waters, and we found out that it was those river of living waters coming out of the saints who believe and are anointed with the power of the Spirit to speak healing and deliverance and life-giving words, eternal life, etc., etc., coming out of the mouth of the saints. First, of course, the man-child and the bride, and secondly, of course, the woman and the fivefold ministry, and so on and so forth. On down the line, the Lord is going to pass on this awesome gift. And this is the way, of course, God's people are going to will live hidden in the wilderness, too, as you're going to discover here. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, right? This river of living water, this spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. Hallelujah. Then I heard three toddlers, and they were speaking on the side of the road, but I could not understand what they were saying. Well, this seems to be in parallel to the first dream where the babies, the three babies, were hidden safely in Christ, right? I got out of the water and walked towards the road and the babies, and no one was paying attention to them. Well, that in itself is a sign that, of course, that they are hidden even beside the broad road. I said to them, shh, and picked them up and went back into the water. I waded in the water with the babies. On the right side of this brook was a lady, and behind her was a cave. So she brought them to a hidden place of discipleship in the wilderness, the underground church, you might say, a cave, right? You know, underground can mean a spiritual type of underground. If you're invisible and all the people around you are controlled by angels who can just turn their attention another way or cause you to be invisible or whatever, underground can be quite above ground in the natural, right? Underground can just be hidden by God, hidden with Christ in God, as the scripture says, right? Praise the Lord. She was a beautiful older lady with long white hair past her hips, which means a lot of submission, right? Maturity and white hair, which means wisdom and submission. And she was wearing a white flowing dress made out of scarf-like material. And I do believe that there are those of the bride with wisdom and maturity to teach the babies. Okay. The bottom of the dress appeared to have points like a scarf, and the dress had long flowing sleeves. This woman looked at me and said, "You found them. Bring them to me. Now go and get the others." Well, I believe that this is very symbolical, that some of the bride will be evangelists to bring in the wayward, and some will be wise teachers to raise up the babies, but the bride's main thing is the harvest, right? Everybody doing their job, right, in the harvest. Just like those early disciples, they were gifted in different ways, you know. So I went back into the water, and I waited a little ways, and I saw Belinda off to the right of the brook, standing on the bank. And she had 12 women with her. Well, I think this is probably another representation of the bride here, the bride bringing in the elect of God, represented by the number 12. Right? Only the chosen will escape captivity at this time. Because the Bible says, if any man is for captivity, into captivity he goeth. Right? And later others, after suffering under the crucifixion of the beast, will be chosen to escape captivity too. Not that all will escape. Some will die in captivity. Okay? But if any man is for captivity, I can say, you can say, needs captivity. If he needs captivity, that's where he's going. That's what the Lord said. And Belinda said something at this point, but I don't remember what it was. Then I remember hearing her say, "Are you ready to take us?" And, of course, Revelation 12 and 6 says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. And then Belinda and the 12 women got into the water with me, and we walked in the water together until it was chest deep. I knew in this dream that we were headed for the cave." Well, chest deep to me speaks of our heart must be bathed in the living waters even before our mind is. You have to have a desire to put knowledge to work before knowledge does you any good, right? Amen. Well, you know, this whole revelation speaks of comfort to both the bride and the babies, in that the Lord is able to keep them hidden, and He will do that. Obviously, that's why this promise is given to us. He will keep His people hidden. The first 3.5 years, as we spoke, is a time of teaching when Jesus taught the disciples. He didn't lose any of them at that particular time. He lost none but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, He said. And so it will be in these days too. I mean, even though the world's turning against you, it's more political and more emotional and more slanderous and things like that than it is physical, right? But that's good news. The Lord is going to hide His people. Now, I want to say something else to you. Why do we need to obey God's word? several reasons. First, God has called us to do something very important for many Christians in these days. But first, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him and His Word. If I do not obey the Lord, then I'm going to miss His will for myself and a multitude of other people, too, who depend on me down the road, including our children, whether they're spiritual or physical children. Hosea 4 and 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So the babies need to grow up in knowledge, right? But he goes on to say, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge," and many Christians have rejected knowledge. You tried to bring them knowledge that will mature them or protect them or cause them to be ready for these coming days, and they reject it because of their denominational spirits, religious spirits, or whatever. So he says, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me." Well, you know, like the factioned away from Judah, who was the leading people in Jerusalem, they made their own priests. You know, people have selfish ambition and ego, and they love to make themselves priests. There's many out there, probably 400 to 1, you know. But he says, "Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I also will forget thy children." Now that's a terrible thing, saints, whether it's natural or whether it's spiritual. If you forget the law, the Lord will forget your children. Abraham was faithful, and so he received many children as the stars of heaven, the Bible says. And they were blessed through Abraham, right? Well, so it is today. We have to be a father of a multitude like Abraham. We need to pass on what the Lord has given to us. We need to have spiritual children. And we also need our physical children to have the benefits of the kingdom. And that also comes because we follow the Lord. We have to obey and believe, or there is no promise for our children to be saved. 1 Corinthians 7 and 14 says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified in the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified in the brother, else were your children unclean." There needs to be somebody in the household with faith, but now are they holy? Proverbs 11 and 21, "Though hand join in hand, the evil man shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." Awesome. The seed of the righteous. There's a benefit for being the seed or offspring of the righteous. There's a benefit for being righteous, because then your seed or your offspring, spiritual or physical, have a promise. Psalm 102 and 28 says, "The children of thy servants shall continue." Children of thy servants. Not everyone serves God. They serve themselves quite regularly. "And their seed shall be established before thee." So there's a benefit to you being a servant of God for both your spiritual and physical offspring. In Proverbs 20 and 7, "A righteous man that walketh in his integrity, blessed are his children after him." You hear that? What a promise. "Blessed are his children after him." A righteous man who walks in integrity has blessed children. And Psalm 112 and 2 says, "His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed." Praise God. Good promises. Genesis 6 and 18 says, "But with you will I establish my covenant, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Wow, seems like they received a benefit. He said, with you will I establish my covenant. And you're going to come in the ark. But it not only you, you're going to bring in your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Genesis 7 and 1. And the Lord said to Noah, come you and all your house into the ark. For you have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Didn't talk about his sons, it talked about him. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, did that bless his offspring? Absolutely. We can see it so here. Genesis 13 and 15, for all the land which you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. Well, now, his seed hadn't even come along, had it? But he promised the land to him because of his faithfulness and to his seed. And we now, of course, are seed of Abraham, are we not? Yes, by faith. We're justified by faith. We receive grace by faith. We receive ability to do, to will and to do by faith. And we're Abraham's seed. That's a spiritual seed, right? Genesis 19 and 12. And the men said to Lot, have you here any besides son-in-law and your sons and your daughters? And whatever you have in the city, bring them out of this place. So the angels gave him authority to bring these out of this place. Of course, it's not good to raise up your children in a place like that. Wasn't a good place, but Lot found grace. He was called a righteous man who was vexed with that evil generation. And verse 15 says, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters that are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. But he lingered. And the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And very interesting, I mean, He didn't just take Lot out. He made sure he brought his kin that were willing to come out, right? And they brought him forth and set him without the city. He spared them. Deuteronomy 4 and 37 says, and because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them. Whoa. And brought you out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. You got that? Because he loved your fathers, he chose their seed after them. Awesome. And he brought them all out of Egypt. And 2 Kings 8:19 says, yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David his servant's sake. Wow. David's righteousness preserved all of Judah. And he promised him to give him always a light and to his children. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Well, this should be a high motivation to serve the Lord, to repent of sin, to come out from among them, to be an overcomer. Psalm 37 and 26 says, he is ever merciful and lends, and his seed is blessed. For righteousness, God blesses your seed, physical or spiritual. Psalm 112, verse 2, verse 3 says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. You know, the seed, spiritual and physical, of the David man-childs will be blessed. Psalm 89 definitely speaks to David and definitely speaks to the man-child. He said, I've made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever. Now, I know that the Davids, of course, are going to be given authority. You know, Ezekiel 34 is very plain. The Lord himself is going to shepherd his sheep, and his prince David is going to rule over them. The David ministries are going to be the new leadership for God's people. So they're going to have many seed, many children, spiritual children, and no doubt some physical children. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And in verse 29, he says again, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. And if his children forsake my law, and walk not in my commandments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. So, wow, saints, this is a real good reason for us to serve God and overcome now and be honest with the Word. In the midst of our trials, many people are going through tests right now to see what slot they're going to be plugged into. The testing for the bride is almost over. We've been having regular signs of that. The testing could be tribulations, it could be sickness, it could be demonic oppression that a person fights against, it could be many things. Persecution from so-called brethren, etc., etc. Many, many things. But if we're faithful in what the Lord gives us, he'll give us much more, won't he? That's what he said. So praise be to God. Father, we thank you so much for your blessings upon us. We thank you for hiding your children in the days to come, and your sons in the days to come, so that your children might be raised up in the wisdom of the Lord and might inherit the blessings of their spiritual fathers. And Father, we ask you to draw us close to you, to make us faithful, to cause us to be well-pleasing in your sight, and that you will favor our spiritual and physical children in the days to come. And Father, I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Cause us to be faithful unto you in all things. Whatever trial you send our way, Lord, let us endure it patiently and come out on the other side purified and glorified in Jesus Christ. We thank you for doing this, Lord. We thank you for your mercy in choosing us out of this world and giving us your eternal kingdom. And Lord, we're looking for awesome signs and wonders and miracles. This river of living water that's going to come out of the mouth of your people who have been filled with your word and anointing. Thank you for bringing all things to our remembrance, Lord, that you have spoken unto us, that we might be useful to the people around us and a blessing. Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name.